we ought to be unified as a family and help one another, and you folks have been such a blessing to us, and I just wanted to say thank you. God has blessed far more than we ever would have dreamed in the time that we spent over there. We weren't there real long, but in the time that we were there, God just did so much so quickly. And when we first arrived there, our main goal was just simply to learn the language. We wanted to get there and get alongside the missionary family that God placed us with and just kind of learn off of them and learn the language and just kind of stay in that church, just get our feet wet. But the Lord, with their health problems, they were gone after a month of us being there. 2 months later, the Lord opened the door for us to be able to plant a church in a village about 20 miles away. And God just moved everything so quickly, and the church was established and began to grow. And God blessed us with a pastor who is now serving as the interim pastor. And I'm praying, and I believe it's the Lord's will that he might be permanent when we get back. And just to see all that happen in such a short period of time, I just can't help but just step back and say, God, it wasn't me. You did it. Because we're so feeble and we're so weak, and I look at we have such a limited understanding of the culture and such a limited understanding of the language, even though we can say that we've learned the basic structure of language and how to converse and to preach, we're still so limited, and yet God did so much. And I think God allowed it to happen that way, just to show us that we're not the ones doing the work, that we're just along for the ride. And I just, I can't thank God enough for how much He's blessed. And let me just say that the fruit of what we're seeing, you know, if you're following our prayer letters, the people that have been saved, the church that's been planted and established, and just all the things that have been affected, that is fruit that is a result of your prayers. That's fruit that is a result of your giving. So don't ever get tempted to give up on world missions. Don't ever get tempted to stop giving or stop praying. Even in the last days, God is still doing a work. And so let's just praise the Lord and be happy about it. John chapter 4. And I'll try my best not to jump into any other language here. This is, well, we've been back, I guess, now about 3 weeks, I think. I lose track of time. Everything's so fast-moving here in America, I can't keep up anymore. But we've been back about 3 weeks, and I've only preached once since we've been back. I preached for just a short chapel service up at Midwestern Baptist College up in Pontiac. And other than that, this is, you know, I feel I'm a little nervous tonight because I feel like I need to get used to preaching in English again. I might be a little rusty here, but let's see what we can do. John chapter 4, beginning in verse 25, and we're going to read a few verses here to get warmed up. We'll begin in verse 25, and we'll finish up in verse 38. But please follow along. Don't ever allow the Word of God to become dull or monotonous, because there's something in every verse here. So please follow along, beginning in verse 25. The woman saith unto him, speaking to Jesus Christ, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, and follow what's going on here, while the Samaritan woman ran into the city to tell the men, and I believe that's referring to the five husbands she had, and the man she was with, because it doesn't say the people or a multitude, it says the men. She went back to tell the men, and while she's off in the city talking to people, in the meanwhile, while it's just the disciples and Jesus Christ, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, and this is really what I want us to get here, verses 34 through 38, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestow no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And we'll finish there. And tonight I just want to preach to you a simple thought, a message I've entitled Sowers and Reapers. You'll notice the end of verse 36 and also verse 37 that Jesus Christ speaks of sowing and reaping. And so that's what we want to look at here tonight, sowers and reapers. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the opportunity to stand behind this pulpit and to preach the Word of God. Lord, I know that as I do it, I'm not sufficient for this task. God, I need your help. I need your grace. Lord, I'm just simply your mouthpiece, and God, I want you to bring the message tonight and speak to our hearts. Do what I cannot do. Lord, though I am weak and frail and feeble, and I might stutter and I might stammer, I just pray, God, that your message would get through to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in thy sight. For I ask and pray it in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. Understand where we are here as we begin in John chapter 4. Jesus has just, where we picked up in verse 25, he had just finished witnessing to the Samaritan woman. He had presented himself as the water of life. He had rejected or batted down her religious barriers. She tried to say that she was of a different religious stripe. She was going a different direction. But Jesus Christ said, hey, I don't want to hear about that. There's a time coming, and now is that time, where we're going to worship God in spirit and in truth. He just, all the religious barriers that she could put up, he just batted those things down and preached to her the gospel and said to her that he was the water of life. Notice the difference between the disciples and Jesus Christ. As this woman runs off into the city to tell people about the Messiah that has come, Jesus Christ begins to speak to the disciples. And it's kind of funny, it's kind of interesting what the disciples say here. They show up as he's finishing this conversation, and they say unto him, Master, eat. And he says, no thanks, fellas, I'm full. And they're confused. They don't know what's going on. They just walked up on the scene, and the Samaritan woman finishes up this conversation, runs off into the city, and they try to give him some food to eat, because I assume that's what they were off doing, was collecting some food and bringing it to feed them and to feed the Savior. But he said, no thanks, fellas, I'm full. And this in this situation, and in every situation in the Gospels, it's always the disciples and Jesus Christ. When you find them together and find them facing a situation, the disciples always represent to us the carnal-minded way of thinking. And Jesus Christ always represents to us the spiritual way of thinking. And so the disciples are thinking about food. They're thinking about material things, which is the way most of us are when we're about the end of a close of a church service. We're thinking about food. You know, but the disciples represent the carnal-minded way of thinking, and Jesus Christ is always spiritually minded. The disciples show up and say, hey, here's food. Their mind is thinking about material and physical things. But Jesus Christ says, no thanks, I'm full. You know what we need to learn from this is just simply that we need to get a taste for the work of God. Jesus Christ wasn't worried about what he was going to eat or how much money he had in his pocket or where he was or what was going on. He was just filling himself up on the work of God. He said, my meat, the thing I'm feasting on, the thing that gives me life and gives me energy and sustains me is the work of God. You know why Christians have such a hard time getting themselves involved in the work of God? Because they're getting a fill of something else. They're getting full of the dainties of the world, if you will. They're getting full on the food of the world, the possessions of the world, the pleasures of the world. And when God touches their heart and reaches down and says, hey, what about my work? What are you going to do for me? How are you going to serve me? They say, no thanks, I'm full. They're getting themselves full on the wrong thing. And the disciples, they were just worried about where the next meal was. They were just thinking about physical things, and they were filling themselves up with the things of the world. And I'm not condemning the disciples, but the Lord, the Word of God uses them to represent the two different viewpoints, the two different lifestyles of the Christian, those that are carnally minded and filling themselves up with the ways of the world and the thinking of the world and the music of the world and the trends of the world. And when Jesus Christ shows up, He says, no thanks, I don't need that. I'm full of the work of God. And that's what we need today, is more Christians who are Christ-like, who don't want a taste of the world. I'm not saying they don't want to live in the world. They don't even want to taste it. They want to get full on the work of God. And this isn't my message, but I just can't get off this. Maybe this is where the Lord wants us just to park it right here and just preach on this a little bit. God wants us to get our eyes, but not just our eyes. He wants our appetites to change. He doesn't want us to desire the things of the world. Hey, I know this flesh. I've had to deal with my own flesh for some 26 years now. I know what it's like to have to deal with the desires of the flesh. The flesh desires, and if we let it, it'll become so strong that the desires of the flesh will overpower the desires of the Spirit of God that is in us. And God wants us not to be tasting of the world, and not to be filling our bellies full of the things of the world. God wants us to get a desire. God wants us to get a hunger for the work of God. And maybe why we struggle so much in these days is because we've got churches that are full of Christians that just don't have a taste for the work of God. I mean, they just, when the preacher gets up and preaches on it, and when it's taught in Sunday school, they just sit back in their attitude, and they might not speak it from their lips, but in their heart of hearts, they're saying, no thanks, I'm full. Jesus Christ said, my meat, the thing I'm feasting on, the thing that gives me pleasure, the thing that gives me strength and sustenance, is to do the will of Him that sent me. It's the work of God. And nothing else will fill my soul but the work of God. But I'm glad that when Jesus Christ was speaking to these disciples, that He didn't just write them off. I mean, He didn't just lambast them. He didn't just condemn them for their carnal thinking. He had the grace, He had the long-suffering and the patience to sit down and teach them in the midst of this situation. And in the midst of this situation, you and I can learn a very valuable lesson where Jesus Christ proceeds to teach us a lesson on the difference between sowers and reapers in the work of God. And that's what I want to look at here tonight. Let's read again verse 37 and 38. Jesus Christ said, and herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. And then He goes on to tell His disciples, His followers, I sent you to reap. Now please follow along, because every word of God is important. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Jesus Christ paints a very simple picture for us, and this is not a deep message, a complicated message. This is one simple thought that we're going to take and develop, but it's just simply the difference between sowers and reapers. Let's begin by looking at the principle of sowing and reaping. Let's turn over to Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes. And I'll give you plenty of time to find that. Ecclesiastes, I say that, but really I'm just giving myself plenty of time to find that. It's tucked away back there in the Old Testament, right after Proverbs, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, it's in there somewhere. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and let's just read. Now keep your finger in John chapter 4. I'm a little late on telling you that, but we'll get back to John chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, let's look at verse 1 and 2. beginning in verse 1, to everything there is a season. Now, feel the full weight of those words. To everything, nothing excluded. To everything there is a season. We continue in a time to every purpose under the heaven. And now notice in verse 2, a time to be born and a time to die. Watch this, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Here's the principle of what we're looking at, of sowing and reaping. It is simply that there is a time to sow and there is a time to reap that which has already been sown. Now, I'm not going to go any deeper than that. That's as deep as I go. That's as complicated as I get. There is a time to sow, and there is a time to reap. It's pretty simple. You look at the way most of you in this building probably know more about farming than I do. But I know just a little bit. I know that here in America, we plant in the spring, and I know it varies depending on what you're planting. But we'll plant in the spring, and when it gets down towards the end of the summer, we begin to reap. And again, depending on what you're planting, it varies. But there is a time for planting, sowing, and there is a different time for reaping. Now, over in Congo, it's a little different because it's summer year-round. And we figured when we got there, we said, well, it's summer year-round. We just plant and reap whenever we want to. I mean, it's just hot all the time. But we found out after a little while that you can't just plant whenever you want to. And you can't just reap whenever, you can't just expect that you're just going to reap it because it's hot all the time. We found out that there's a time when it's so rainy that you can't plant. Because you put those seeds in the ground and the rain comes down so hard that it washes away not just your seeds but all your dirt. And there are times when it's so hot that if you got, we planted cucumbers, we planted peanuts, we planted corn, different things. You find out that it gets so hot sometimes that it will literally scorch what's growing. And so you've got to learn, even in Congo where it's hot all the time, there are seasons. There are times when you can plant, and there are times when it's time to reap. No matter where you go in this world, no matter if you're talking about the physical world or talking about the spiritual world, there is a time to sow, and there is a time to reap. There are seasons in the history of this world, in the history of countries, where there have been times of sowing and there have been times of reaping. Now, let's get back to John chapter 4 for a minute and use this as our illustration here. Consider what Jesus Christ told the disciples. What did he tell them? If you're there, I'll read it for you. If you're not there, verse 38, Jesus said, I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestow no labor, other men have labored, and ye are entered into their labors. What did he tell them? He told them basically, you're reapers. You're not sowers, you are reapers. I sent you to reap. My question is, if they were reapers, who were the sowers? I mean, Jesus Christ just said in the previous verse, there's a time for sowing. Men have sown and others reap. Well, all right, he's telling the disciples they're the reapers. Who are the other men? Because Jesus Christ said you're reapers and you're entering into other men's labors. Who are those other men? Look over, if you would, at Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, we find that the Savior sent out 70 of his disciples or of his servants. They went out, his workers. He sent out these 70. He told them to go two and two before his face into every city and place to the places that he would follow, the places that he himself would come. He sent them out, and they came back, man, rejoicing. I mean, they were psyched. They were excited because they had gotten a taste of the work of God, and God had blessed. And there was fruit, and there were results, and they were excited. But notice what Jesus Christ said to them. Notice his response in verse 23. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. There's your sowers. The disciples were the reapers, and they entered into other men's labors. You say, who were the sowers? They were the prophets and kings of the Old Testament. They were those who had broken the ground and tilled the ground and sowed. They had prophesied that there was a Messiah coming. They had prophesied of a king coming. They had given the details of everything you can imagine of his birth, even of his death on the cross, where Isaiah spoke of every tiny detail of his death, where even King David gave prophecies of him being on the cross and how people reject him and mock him and spit in his face. Even King David prophesied about these things. We have all these prophecies. What were these men doing, these prophets and the king? They were sowing. They were breaking the ground up. They were tilling the ground. They were sowing. You know, throughout the Old Testament, the prophets, they labored hard, but did they have a lot of good results? No. The people's hearts were so hard. They were stiff-necked. They rejected the sowing that they were doing. But what happens when the disciples show up? They come back rejoicing. I mean, they're excited. They're just come back rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them. And Jesus Christ said, hey, now consider what you're doing here. You're reaping. Other men have sowed. Other men have endured afflictions. Other men have been mocked and persecuted and rejected. They are the sowers. And you have entered into other men's labors. You're reapers. I believe the same thing could be said of the Apostle Paul. Don't forget that sowing and reaping happens in seasons. Are y'all following me so far? There is a time to sow and a time to reap. The Old Testament prophets and kings, they showed up on the scene and that God used many of them to prophesy that a Messiah is coming. They preached basically the gospel of the kingdom and a Messiah is coming, a king is coming. They gave details of the resurrection, of the crucifixion. All these things were breaking the ground and sowing. The disciples showed up and they reaped. And they were excited. And they were excited to see the fruit of other men's labors that Jesus Christ pointed out to them. But now, let's turn over to Romans 15. Romans chapter 15. And we're going somewhere with this. There is a method to my madness. We'll get to a point here eventually. Romans chapter 15, verse 20. The missionary Paul speaking here. Romans 15, verse 20. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. Paul simply said that he himself was a sower. Paul said, Paul is a man who understood the time that he lived in. He is a man that understood the field that he was the fields, plural, that he was laboring in. He is a man that understood his calling. He understood that God called him to leave Jerusalem and to leave Israel and to go out to the uttermost parts of the world in Macedonia and Asia Minor and all the cities and the villages that God sent him to and to preach the gospel where Christ had not been named. He was a sower. He went forth to where the ground had not been broken, to where the seed had not been sown. And he himself understood that he was a sower. And he said, I'm not building on any other man's foundation. I'm building a foundation here. Because God has called me to be a sower. Paul was a sower by God's direction. He didn't enter other men's labors. All right? Jesus Christ told disciples, you're reapers. I sent you to reap. You're entering other men's labors. Paul says, I'm not entering other men's labors. I'm building my own foundation here. I'm a sower. God's called me to be a sower. I'm going into new fields. I'm leaving a place where it's been sown and where people are reaping, and I'm going into new fields, and I'm sowing all over again. He laid the foundation so that builders and sowers that would come after him would be able to reap. Reapers that would be able to come after him would be able to do that work, would be able to follow up on the work that he had done. Think about the sowers that have gone before you and I. Think about the sowers, just for a moment. Think about the sowers in our nation. Think about our forefathers that left for religious liberty, freedom of religion, and came, don't believe what they tell you, what the other reasons were. They came here for religious freedom. They wanted to get away from the oppression of the Catholic Church and the Anglican Church, the Church of England, all that. They wanted to get away. They wanted to be able to worship God the way they believed was right. And they endured persecution. And they endured suffering and affliction. And they came over to this nation and they broke ground. And they sold the fields. You say, what were they? They were sowers for this nation. Don't forget that. They are the sowers of this nation. Think about all the preachers of the past who have preached the truth of the Word of God. I'm not talking about all those other denominations that just started religious organizations. I'm talking about true God-called preachers of the past who stood in their pulpits and who went out into the fields and they sowed where it had not been sown before. They were sowers. Think about the sowers in our nation. Think about the sowers in your city. I probably couldn't give you names, but I guarantee you that there have been men and families and ladies that have come into this city and this area that they broke ground. When they got here, they weren't reaping, they were sowing. And they had to start a Baptist church, and they had to go out and preach the gospel to people. They were sowers. Think about the sowers that have been in this city. Think about the sowers that have been in the mission fields. I think about names like Hudson Taylor and Adoniram Judson and William Carey and some of these men just this past year. I've been reading some of their biographies. You'll find out that they were sowers. They weren't reapers. They went out to fields that the gospel had not been preached. And you know what they had to do? When they showed up, we'd like to think that they showed up on the field, and man, they went away preaching. I mean, the first guy that showed up, they just started preaching at him, and souls started being saved, and God just started blessing. No, that's not the way it worked for them. You know what they did when they showed up? They got off the boat after several months of traveling. You know, we think it's hard because we flew about 35 straight hours in three different airplanes. We thought that was tough. And I do think it's tough still, but especially when you got three kids. But I couldn't imagine going for several months with Stephen and Aubrey and Brianna. As much as I love my kids, 3 months on a boat. No place for Stephen to get off and run around. That'd be nuts. But after several months of being on a boat, they get up. They don't just hit the ground preaching the gospel. You know what they do? They say, all right, where are we going to live? They get off that boat and they say, we got to find a place to live. And after they deal with immigration, after they deal with customs and all the problems of that, they finally get through, after bribing everybody in their way, they finally get through and get to a place where somebody says, all right, you can build a house there. They say, where? Right where all those trees are. You can build a house there. And so they go out there and they start clearing land and they start building the house. And then after that, all right, now it's time to preach the gospel. No, there's got to be a Bible translated. Because these people don't have a Bible in their language. And you start preaching them about God, what's your source? What are you preaching about? So they got to start translating Bibles. They got to go in. They got to clear land. They got to build houses. They've got to do all this work of translating the Bible. They've got to teach the basics of there is a God. He created Adam and Eve and teach the basics of all these things. You say, what were they doing? They were sowing. They were sowers. They weren't reapers. God sent them to be sowers. Think about all the mission fields where missionaries have gone and they have been sowers. They have done the pioneer work. And think about how few converts they had. I mean, you read about some of these guys. And they were there for 10, 11 years, and they have six people saved. You say, what were they doing? They were sowing. They did all that physical work and endured even persecution. They were just sowing. They were breaking ground for the reapers that were to come after. All right, this is basically the principle of what we're looking at. Secondly, I want you to notice the problem of sowing and reaping. Oh no, it's negative preaching. We're talking about problems. The problem of sowing and reaping. Look over at Luke chapter 10. This is a verse that is familiar to anyone that's been saved any length of time. And understand what I'm preaching here. I'm not just preaching missions. I'm preaching sowing and reaping, whether it be in America, whether it be in Congo, whether it be in China, whether it be in Michigan, Ohio, Florida, wherever it is. This principle stands true. There are times for sowing, there are times for reaping. But notice the problem we run into. Jesus Christ said in Luke chapter 10, verse 2, "Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." Now, watch the wording. All right, watch the wording. Now, there's a Bible that we have over in Congo. It's the old Lingala Bible. It's the only one they have over there. It's called Lingala Makanzis, the old way of speaking the language. And if you read the verse that is in that Bible, it'll say, "Elanga izalimonene." All right, it'll say the garden or the field is large, but that's not what Jesus Christ said here. Look at it. Did he say the field or the garden is large? No. You know, Jesus Christ was very specific when he spoke. Every word was important. I mean, if I was a disciple and Jesus Christ opened his mouth, I'd pull up a rock and sit down and listen. I'd pick out every word, and I believe that's what they did. I believe that's why we have the four Gospels sitting in front of us. Because every time he spoke, man, they sat down, they got out a pen and paper. Or a scroll and quill or whatever they used back then. Carve on a rock. But he didn't say garden. He didn't say field. What did he say? Go ahead, look at it. The harvest. Now the harvest is very specific. You know why? Who takes care of the harvest? The reapers. Not the sowers, the reapers. You know, if Jesus Christ was standing here speaking to sowers, he might have said the garden is large. He might have said the field is truly great. The garden truly is great, but that's not what he said. He said the harvest truly is great. Why? He was talking to reapers. He was talking to reapers in Luke chapter 10. He was talking to men who were entering into other men's labors, and he said, "Listen up, reapers, the harvest truly is great." And here's the problem. All right? Here's where the rubber meets the road. Here's where it gets hard. You ready for this? Here's where it gets hard. We are living in a time where in most nations and in most countries, and I believe it's the case in America, I believe also it's the case in Congo, we are living in a time where it is time to reap. It's not time to sow. It is time to reap. You go out through the city of Cambridge and you'll find out you're not doing a lot of sowing. You're doing a lot of reaping. And let me back up. You go out through the city of Cambridge and you preach the gospel to people. I don't know how many people are actually doing this, but you go out to the city of Cambridge and you preach the gospel to people. If you do it, you'll find out that you're reaping, you're not sowing. Because people have a basic understanding of God. They have a basic understanding of the work of God, of church work, though it may be twisted, though it may be distorted, though it may have a denominational bias. There are people that have an understanding. They even might understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross for sins. Somebody sowed. Somebody sowed, whether it was in a church, whether it was in a tent meeting, whether that man grew up in church as a child and just got away from God. Somebody sowed. But here's the problem, folks. It is time to reap, and there are no reapers. God sent out in days past men that would sow, men that would go out, and ladies that would go out, and by the calling and direction of God, they would go out, and they would sow. They would break ground. They would till the ground. They would sow the seed. And they were faithful to do it. Now we've come to a time where God says, it's time to reap. And nobody's reaping. Just let it sink in. We've come to a time where I believe, and I hope you believe by what we've seen here in the Word of God, that it is time to reap, and there are no reapers. Other men have gone before. Other men have sowed the seed. They've broken and tilled the ground. They've done the preparation work. But we're not reaping. Now, follow me. I'm not saying we're not bearing fruit. I'm saying we're not even entering the field. It's one thing if I got up here and say, "Hey, you know what? Jesus Christ said in John 15 that you need to bear fruit. And fruit that remains." I can say, you're not showing any fruit in your life. And I can hammer away at that truth, and it's true. But you know what? I'm saying we're not even going to the place where you get the fruit. You following me? We're not even entering the field. We have generated in this time a brand of Christianity that finds it fulfilling and finds it satisfying to sit in the pew Sunday after Sunday, and maybe those are even more faithful Wednesday after Wednesday, and just there's a brand of Christianity where we find it satisfying and fulfilling to fill a spot in the pew week after week, to even tip God from time to time, but we are not entering the fields. It is time to reap. I'm talking to people that you're my brothers and sisters in Christ. We're a family. God's burdened my heart and given me this message for tonight to bring it across to not just you, but to myself included. It is time to reap, and we are not reaping. Understand, you know, one thing the Lord's touched my heart and taught me about, and I said just a second ago, I'm not talking about bearing fruit, I'm talking about entering the field. It doesn't begin by bearing fruit. It begins by just simply entering the field. And most of us are not doing that. But I've learned and the Lord's taught me by way of His Word and even by experience that bearing fruit, that's not in our hands. You know, Jesus Christ, He's called us to go forth and to be witnesses. Witnesses of His death. Witnesses of His resurrection. But you know what? I found out that God wants us to go and He wants us to serve. He wants us to follow His example of making the work of God be our meat and the thing that fills our lives. But He doesn't demand account. He doesn't say you've got to meet a certain quota. You know what He says? He said, I, the Lord, search the hearts. And I give to every man. According to what? According to what's in here. And you know what else? According to His work, according to His ways. You know, we read that verse, Jeremiah 17:10, we read that verse, and we think, oh, it's talking about the wicked. God sees the heart of the wicked, and He rewards him according to his wicked ways. And yes, that's true, but it doesn't exclude you and I. It doesn't exclude the servants of God. It can go positive or negative. God looks at the intents of our hearts and looks at our work, and are we devoting ourselves 100% to the work of God, and He rewards us. He gives the fruit. He gives the results. You know what He demands from us? Just to go into the field. He doesn't begin by saying, hey, the harvest is great. The laborers are few. Now get out there and give me some fruit. That's not what He says. He says the harvest truly is great. Hey, enter the field. Get out there. Get into the field and I'll take care of the fruit. Just be faithful day after day, week after week, to be involved in the work of God, whether it be preaching the gospel, whether it be visiting those that need visited, encouraging them, strengthening them, fellowshipping with them, whatever kind of aspect of the work of God you're looking at, just get into the field. I guarantee you God will take care of the fruit. But the problem is, the need is not being met. We as Bible believers, we picture in our minds and we understand in our thoughts that the harvest is great. There are few laborers. But you know what? It doesn't affect our lives. And I don't have a solution for that. All I can do is get on my knees and get on my face and keep praying that God would give more laborers. And folks, let me tell you, this is something that we preach to our church over there. And we encourage them because we're still at a foundation level. We're still trying to build them and get them involved in the work of God. And I stress to them and preach to them that the workers that are needed for the work over there in the village of Kinkole are not going to come from America. Because there's a perception in the Congolese over there that when a denomination moves into a village that they're going to build the building, they're going to provide the workers, they're going to provide the money, and then you just get to come to church, and the church gets big, and you give your offerings, but the denomination provides everything. And I stress to them, and I preach to them, and our workers as well, that listen, the workers are going to come right from here. The people that are sitting in these chairs, that are sitting in this building, you folks are the workers that are going to be needed to build this church and to fill the positions and to do the work of God. And that's what we stress. You know what? We can stress the same thing here. You say, you know what, we need Sunday school workers. We need people out on Saturdays to go soul winning. We need people to do visitation on other days. We need workers. We need workers. Don't look for it to come from another church. It's got to come from right here. There are enough people, I am convinced, there are enough people sitting right under the sound of my voice that can do a work for God in reaching the city of Cambridge and in supporting missions around the world. We don't need more workers from out there. We've got enough people right in this building at this very moment to do the work of God in this church. And we know that. And we understand it. But in many cases, it ain't getting here. I love you folks. I know you pray for us. I know when you come up to us and you say, I'm praying for you, you aren't lying. You're not being a hypocrite. You're telling me the truth. And you care for us. And I care for you folks too. We've got a lot of good people in this church. You know what we need? We need active people. We don't just need good people. We need active people. I'm here to tell you tonight, and I believe this is, Brother Hamlin said there's a difference between a sermon and a message. I don't believe this is a sermon here tonight. I believe this is a message from God. This is the message God's laid on my heart to share with my church family, and I believe this is what God wants us to hear tonight, and it is simply that there is a field out there in the city of Cambridge, in the Guernsey County, in countries all across this world. It's time to reap. It's time to reap. And I could preach this thing till I'm blue in the face, but if you don't get under the conviction of the Spirit of God, if you don't allow the Spirit of God to work in your heart and open up your heart that you might feel true conviction and feel and act in repentance, to say to God, to get on your knees and say to God, God, you're right. You're right. I'm not getting into the field. You're right, and I'm wrong. That's what God needs to hear from our hearts. That's what He needs to hear from our lips. That we're not satisfied anymore with just filling a spot in the pew, but that we want to be active in the work of God. We want to be just like Jesus Christ, where we don't allow our programs and the possessions of the world and our schedules just to fill our bellies, but that we will not be satisfied till our lives are full and our hearts and our souls are full with the work of God. It's time to reap. And you know what I'm convinced? I know the hearts are cold. I know the ground out there is stiff. But I'm convinced if we did enough reaping, we would see fruit. The excuse of our day in America is that, well, people just don't listen. And you'll go door after door and nobody will respond. You know what? If you do it long enough, and if enough people do it, you will see fruit. I don't believe that God would send us out wasting our time. God sends us out, and all He expects from us is just to be a witness. Just to tell somebody. And don't worry about the results. Let God take care of the results. And if you go for a week or a month and no results, you're not wasting your time. God's using you. Keep at it. Keep witnessing. Get others involved with you because you will bear fruit. Why? Because it's a time for reaping. Jesus Christ said, the harvest truly is great. Well, what's the problem? The laborers are few. And that'll always be the problem. But on a grand scale, that will always be the problem. You know, it doesn't have to be the problem for Bible Baptist Church. It really doesn't. But it will remain the problem if you don't act. I'm not beating you over the head here. I want to encourage you. This problem of few laborers will never be changed until each one of us commit in our hearts, God, no more. I'm not going to sit by while the harvest, I'm not going to sit by idle. I'm going to get involved. I've got more on here to say, but let's just close by looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians chapter 3, the difference between sowers and reapers. I believe we're not sowers right now. And let me just say this. I believe if we don't start reaping, it's going to demand sowing. And let me clarify that. You know, if you take a garden that has been sowed and begins to bear fruit, and it gets time for reaping, and the reapers don't enter the field, you know what happens to that garden? The fruit begins to rot. I mean, if you don't reap that stuff, it's going to rot. You know what else is going to happen? The ground's going to become cold. I mean, it's going to become hard. You might get rocks in it. You might get sticks in it. You might get all kinds of junk, and leaves are going to fall and cover up that garden. And the fruit's going to get rotten. Why? Nobody's reaping. And you know what? The same is true spiritually. The sowing's been done. It's beginning to grow. The harvest is out there. And you know what? If we don't get into the fields, what's going to happen is what we've already begun to see happen in America is that the fruit is beginning to rot. The ground is beginning to get hard. And if we don't get out there and start reaping, we're going to get to a point in America and get to a point in Cambridge where it's not going to be time for reaping anymore. There's a time to sow. There's a time to reap. And if we don't take this advantage of this time to reap, it's going to get so hard and it's going to get so rotten out there that we're not going to be reapers. And God's not going to be calling for reapers. God's going to be calling for sowers again. We need to reap. We need to reap. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered. Remember that? Paul's a sower, he's planting, but God gave the increase. Amen? So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Verse 8 is what I want you to see. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man, watch this, and every man shall receive his own reward, and this is what I want you to catch, according to his own labor. What does that mean? That means Bible Baptist Church can't do your work for you. I love sitting back and saying, man, I love Bible Baptist Church. Bible Baptist Church, we've got a good pastor. We've got a church that stands by what's right, that is active in reaching souls, that has a bus route, that does visitation. But I cannot sit back and say, Bible Baptist Church will do the work. You know why? Because that thinking is straight out of hell. But it's sad to say there's so many Christians that are thinking that way. We've got to personally get involved. Why? Because this verse tells me right here, and it tells you as well, that every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. It doesn't get any more personal than that. Every individual, every man receiving his own personal reward according to his own personal labor. Understand that when you stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ as a believer of Jesus Christ, you're not going to answer for the work of Bible Baptist Church. You're not going to answer as a whole for the work of Christianity and Bible believers in these years, in this generation. You're not going to answer for that. You're going to answer for your own labor. We're reapers. And I'll close with this. You know, when we come to the end of a message, it doesn't mean it's time to walk out the door and go home. It means it's time for decision. Amen? It's time for decision. And I'll help you a little bit. I'll tell you what your response needs to be. All right? Because it's biblical. You know what the first thing you need to do as your response? The first thing you need to do is you need to get on your knees before God. And you need to pray that God would send forth laborers. That's Bible. Jesus Christ said the harvest is great, and that's really what we've been talking about tonight. And the first thing he said, the harvest truly is great, he didn't say, oh, now go out and win someone. No, he said, pray. The harvest is great. Begin by praying. Pray ye therefore the Lord, not just generic prayer, but specifically, pray for more laborers. So here's what your response, here's what our response needs to be tonight. We need to get on our knees before God and we need to say, God, I see the harvest is great. Would you please provide, as the Lord of the harvest, would you provide more laborers in this field? And number two, you need to be the first answer to your prayer request. Don't pray it and look for the answer to come somewhere else. Pray it and say, God, I'm willing to be the first answer to that request. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. There's nothing more I need to say. We've come to the close of the message. It's decision time. And we can either stand in our pews undecided, and when we do that, we've made our decision. We've decided this message isn't for me. And we'll answer according to our own labors. But I believe that God has spoken to each of our hearts in one way or another. Perhaps not even on what we're talking about here tonight. Maybe He's taken a seat, a certain part, and spoken to you about something else. But if God has spoken to you, and I believe He has, we need to respond. There's sowers and there's reapers. There's a time for sowing and there's a time for reaping. It is time to reap. Now, what are you going to do about it? Lord Jesus, I thank You again for the opportunity to preach. God, I'm feeble, I'm weak, but I believe that You've had a message for our people tonight. God, I just pray that our response would be pleasing in Your sight. I ask and pray in Your precious name. Amen. I'll turn it over to the pastor and take on the invitation.
Brother Jay's going to sing a song in just a minute that they picked out. I'm reminded that in the book of Acts, there was a small group of believers that were so powerful that the Bible says that they turned the world upside down for Jesus Christ. I'm convinced, folks, that Bible Baptist Church can do that for the city of Cambridge, Ohio. If these at the altar and those of you that are praying as you stand are committing yourself to being a bold witness for Jesus Christ, I believe the Lord can do something very tremendous in this town that we live in. Cambridge, Ohio has 11,000 people. It doesn't take a lot of people to turn a town of 11,000 around. And a commitment from a group this size could make such a difference in this community. If God's spoken to your heart while these many are at the altar, Brother Jay's going to sing a song. You pray as he sings and give yourself to the Lord.
Thank you.
morning I held up about five gospel tracts up here that I said were good tracts to take. Two of those we don't have any more of, because folks on their way out the door this morning just took them in unsuspected numbers, and that's not a criticism or a complaint by any stretch of the imagination. But the tract of the Declaration of Independence and the one, What Do You Miss By Being a Christian, folks took all of them as they went out the door this morning. That's a wonderful thing. That's a great thing. It's good as long as we don't take them home and set them on the dresser, and about 2 weeks from now they're still sitting there. It's good as long as we don't put them somewhere and just let them sit. Make sure you get those things out. There's so many different ways in which we can do what Matt challenged us to do tonight of being a witness. Saturday mornings at 10:30, everyone's welcome to come and join us. We go two by two out into the neighborhoods, knock on doors, hand out gospel tracts. Some folks' work schedules or health reasons, you can't do that. Any other reason you can, but sometimes you can't do that. There's so many different ways. The New Movers program is a way to get involved if you can't do other things. There are other avenues. If you can't do one or the other and say, Pastor, I've got a burden to do something, you come and ask me. I guarantee I can tell you what to do. I've driven through the outside roads of this community, you know, out Claysville Road or out some of the Bob's Run Road and out these places that really we'll never get to going door-to-door visitation because there's just too many doors to get to. But I've got a burden for those people that are never going to have a witness, and I've got a way to reach them. But it needs help, and it doesn't require even leaving this building to do it. But we just need laborers, folks that are willing to do it, to get the Word of God out. You want to do something and can't do the other things, let me know. But let's commit ourselves as a church to reaching this city and this county for the Lord Jesus Christ. I can guarantee you this, and this is going to sound harsh. Nobody else is doing it. I can promise you in this town, nobody else is doing it. You know how I know? Because we knock on their door and they answer on Saturday mornings. And they don't have programs, and they're not going out knocking on doors, and they're not giving out tracts, and they're not. And this isn't intended as a criticism for them. It's intended as a challenge for us. We need to do it because nobody else is doing it except, and you know who I'm going to say, the two young men walking up and down the streets with suits and ties on every day, sometimes on their bicycles, the Mormons. The Jehovah Witnesses meeting on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning there at their Kingdom Hall and challenging people and then sending them out. They're doing it. But people with the message of the gospel aren't doing it. We have that message. We have that news. It's time. That'd just be a great theme for our soul-winning campaign. It's time to reap. Let's commit ourselves to doing that. Thank you, Matt, for the challenge tonight. It's a good challenge, a needed challenge, a weighty message, but something we all needed to hear and all needed to be I needed it. I needed to be challenged and reminded what we're here for, and that's to win other people. Aren't you glad somebody told you about Jesus Christ? Aren't you glad they didn't keep their mouth shut, but they went out of their way? Sometimes the son of you, they went out of their way. I'm going to give a quick testimony. It's not even my own. Young fella in the Navy, one of the guys on his ship invites him to come to church, him and one other guy. So two guys go out to church with the guy. They go to church that morning, and then the guy says, hey, come over to our house. My wife and I will make supper for you. They come over to the house, and they're sitting there while the wife's making supper. The ship guy says to one of the Navy guys, he says, are you saved? And he said, yes, I am. Told when he got saved. He asked the other guy, you saved? And the guy said, well, seeing as how I don't even know what you're talking about, I guess I'm not. That day, that man witnessed to Dave Damon. And that day in 1955, Dave, 1955, he bowed his head and asked Jesus Christ to come into his heart. Wasn't out on visitation, though that's a great thing to do. It was just somebody that had a burden and a vision to reach somebody else and a method and a way to do it. Dave said that guy even had a little altar. He had a separate room in his house. He did that so often. He had a room in his house with a little kneeler's bench and a Bible open there that he made that a regular practice of inviting sailors over into his house, taking them out there and witnessing to them and leading them to Christ. You know, that guy doesn't know the fruit he got in Brother Dave. That guy might still be alive, might be gone to heaven and got his reward. He doesn't even know. He became a reaper that day. That's a blessing all of us can have. Let's bow our heads tonight in prayer. Choir, again, remember a practice with Brother Jay while you're here. But let's pray together. Brother Kevin Coventry, if you would, sir, dismiss us in prayer.
Message tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you laid it on his heart to give it to us. truth of the matter is, there's souls out there that are going to hell. And Lord, work in our hearts, because we know the truth. We are saved. We were lost and going to hell one day, and somebody told us. Work in our hearts, Lord, that we go out there and tell them, that we tell everybody. We tell everybody, Lord. When we're at the grocery store, Lord, we go through the line, or we give them trash. Lord, that we leave those trash all over the place, Lord. We're planting seeds, Lord. And it's all because of you. You work in the heart. Lord, thank you. Don't let this message go away from our hearts. Help continue in our hearts and work on us. And Lord, the decisions that were made tonight, work in us, Lord, to never forget that decision. To always stand firm. We have a foundation in Jesus Christ to build us up, Lord. And we just pray that you would work in our hearts every day. Lord, help us to be the witness you want us to be. Lord, we just praise you and glorify your name. And we're thankful each day. Help us do your work.